We live in times of crisis. About 1 billion people worldwide suffer from stress-related illnesses, and the trend is increasing. Resilience means staying healthy despite being exposed to significant burdens in life. I constantly wonder, what keeps me healthy despite experiencing severe crises while others crumble? Resilience is a natural phenomenon and involves starting a new phase of progress after a catastrophe or trauma. I have read that leading researchers are trying to decipher the secrets of resilience. The aim of the research is to identify strategies we can use to keep our minds healthy. I question whether we can really learn to be resilient or if it is something innate in some and absent in others. One of the stories that has impacted me the most is that of May, a mother who suffered the greatest loss a parent can face, the death of her son Luca. I clearly remember how she told her story. Luca died violently one January night, and the call from his mother Helen that morning was heartbreaking. Luca has died. Luca and his friend Freddie were only 16 years old when, leaving a birthday party, they got involved in a trivial fight that ended in tragedy when they pushed Luca towards a moving train. That tragedy brought together Georg Baumann, Luca's father, with Celine and Benjamin, Freddie's parents. They share the pain of losing their children. I often think about them, how they have managed such a devastating loss. I remember that one morning in 2019, the police came to the Vilks door with the worst news: your son died last night. The sense of disbelief and immense pain are hard to imagine. Life becomes unreal, like a movie, and one cannot accept reality. For some, overcoming such a loss seems impossible. I understand those who do not overcome it and those who find no more meaning in life. I question, why can I continue living and my son cannot? This question haunts me and often plunges me into deep reflection about the meaning of life and the human capacity to adapt to adversity. Families who go through these tragedies face a painful and long road. Serious crises are part of our lives, and yet many people maintain mental health. I wonder, what is that due to? In Mainz, the largest resilience research center in Europe, Professor Raphael Kalisch, a neuroscientist and brain researcher, explores the mechanisms of psychological resilience. His interest in mental health began in college when he saw a close friend almost collapse. Kalisch and his team are conducting a long-term study with young people who are in an especially difficult phase of their lives, transitioning from school to adult life. Participants must answer questions about their mental state every 3 months. I am amazed at how, through these studies, a detailed picture of stress over time can be obtained and how some people react differently to challenges. I remember that participants come to the Institute for thorough examinations. Kalisch and his team use MRIs and blood and hair analyzes to look for clues on how stress affects the brain and body. I am intrigued by how they can determine cortisol concentration, the stress hormone, from hair, and how this data can reveal so much about our mental health. The study has been collecting data since 2016, creating an enormous database. They want to understand what mechanisms people use to stay healthy in the face of adversity, with the goal of using or strengthening those mechanisms in those who cannot do it themselves. Kalisch has already identified some resilience factors, such as participants' positive evaluation of stress, which seems to be linked to resilience. I wonder if we can really influence our resilience. Professor Marta, also in Mainz, investigates what makes some people more resilient. Her approach to resilience science, more focused on the individual than the clinical picture, seems promising to me. Marta has taught me that resilience can be studied and understood through observing behaviors and biological responses. I recall a study with mice that Marta and her colleague Ulrich Schmitz conducted to measure resilience. They put the mice in social stress situations to observe their behaviors and better understand how resilience can be measured. This type of research makes me reflect on how resilient behavior involves weighing the situation and adapting our behavior accordingly. Resilience is not just bravely facing any danger but distinguishing between threat and safety. This can be transferred to humans. Those who can distinguish between negative and neutral stimuli are better protected against stress and mental illnesses. I think about how we can apply this in our daily lives, learning to react more adaptively to stress. The Max Planck Institute of Psychiatry in Munich, where neuroscientist Elisabeth Binder works, also seeks to understand why some people remain mentally healthy despite severe stress. She investigates genetic predisposition and how certain genetic variants can alter our perception of stress. I am intrigued by how these findings can help develop new strategies to promote resilience. Binder focuses on the FKBP5 gene, which regulates our stress response. I find it fascinating how genetics can influence our ability to regulate stress and how research with mice can lead to the development of specific drugs to improve resilience in humans. This makes me reflect on the role of biology and the environment in forming our resilience. Finally, I think of Boris Cyrulnik, a psychiatrist and neurologist who is a pioneer in resilience research. His own traumatic childhood during the war motivated him to understand how to find the way back to life. His story and dedication to resilience deeply inspire me. Cyrulnik has written extensively on how people can overcome trauma and rebuild their lives, and his ideas have provided me with great comfort and guidance. In a world where stress and adversity are inevitable, I constantly find myself seeking ways to strengthen my resilience. I strive to maintain a positive mindset and find meaning even in the most difficult experiences. I have learned that resilience is not a fixed trait but a skill that can be developed and strengthened over time. Research on resilience has taught me that we are not helpless in the face of stress. We can learn to manage our stress responses, reevaluate our perceptions, and find support in our communities. Resilience is a combination of biological, psychological, and social factors, and each of us has the potential to cultivate this skill. In my own life, I have found comfort and strength in the stories of others who have overcome adversity. Their experiences inspire me to move forward and seek ways to adapt and grow from my own challenges. Resilience is a light in the darkness, a force that allows us to continue even when everything seems lost. Reflecting on my personal journey toward resilience, I realize it is an ongoing process. Each challenge is an opportunity to learn and grow, and each moment of pain is a chance to find strength and hope. Resilience does not mean we do not feel pain or sadness, but that we find a way to move forward despite it. I hope that through my story and research on resilience, others can find hope and motivation to face their own challenges. Resilience is a skill that we can all develop, and it is a source of strength that allows us to overcome any adversity.